How are you?
Doing good. Nice to hear your voice.
You as well. It's always such a pleasure. My goodness, I'm looking at your website and seeing how busy you are. Off to Ireland, are you? Next week, is it?
Off to England and then Ireland, yes, you're right. And it's lovely. It's a real package.
Oh, my goodness. Are those talks that you're giving over there?
They are. They are.
Oh,
two different groups or two different sides. And yeah, very nice. And time to visit family and friends as well.
Oh, beautiful. Lucky people. I wish I was going, too. Maybe one day. Okay, well, we know everybody's very excited to talk with you tonight, so I'm just going to welcome everybody, and we'll get started.
Lovely.
Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome. I am Elaine Caton, the Program Director at the TCM World Foundation, and I am simply delighted to welcome our dear friend, Dr. Christine Page. For those of you who do not know Christine, she is a holistic doctor and an intuitive healer. And what I have observed is that her warm gifts of knowing how to help others access their inner potential is just something that draws so many to her. And tonight we'll be talking about how to trust yourself and find that inner wisdom. So, you know, Christine, it's so interesting because in all of our programs, whether it's an evening or a one-week program, whatever it may be, we always try and help people. We tell them to listen to their intuition. Mm-hmm. And it seems like without trust, we really can't get there, can we?
No, absolutely. And it's the biggest point that people say, oh, I don't trust other people. I don't trust myself. I don't trust the spirit world. It is a common feature there. So, yeah, so we cannot actually help people unless we start to help people to trust themselves. And I often think trust is often like the word truth, that do you actually know your own truth? To be true to yourself is a level of trusting yourself.
That's beautiful.
So it's not out there. I think often we look for trust outside ourselves. Whereas
yeah.
Do we actually, are we in tune with our own truth, our own trust? And that comes from the heart, and that's why I link it so strongly with intuition. Because that intuition is that still, small voice. And it's saying, trust me, follow me. And, you know, people, I mean, of course, I've been working with this all my life, and I've taught it a lot, and everybody's intuitive. There's nobody I've met who doesn't hear something, but then we don't follow through. That's the bigger problem.
This is true. So how do we begin? How do we listen to that inner voice? What is it that we do? Where do we start?
I feel that, you know, the first level is loving, knowing that you are loved. And that sounds like such a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But the saddest part of is that many a time there's some inner message that you're not lovable or you're not loved. And, you know, especially within a religious setting, you might have been told, well, there's a God who you have to jump through all these hoops before you can be loved or before you're good enough. Or you might be having that in your own life. It's just like, wow, that's hard work. You know, what happened to the God is love and God is easy and everything is easy? I think, you know, if we started with the world of every child knowing that they're whatever they are loved, wow, that would be a different.
Oh, it'd be lovely.
And I feel that, you know, one of the things I've been working with is that when we come onto this earth, we want to belong. Now, that belonging can be in our spiritual world, but actually we're meant to belong here on this earth. And what we forgot to do was really root ourselves or root our children into this earth and say, Mother Earth is the person who's loving you. And a lot of that occurred, and I know that our listeners will understand this, because we got cut off from Mother Earth. And that's why many people focus on that sense of belonging through the first chakra, the base chakra, because that base chakra is the only one that we are gifted with. We have forgotten that there's another deeper chakra underneath our feet. I won't get too lost in that. But what used to happen in indigenous tribes, that when a child was born, the placenta was buried into the earth and then a tree planted on top of that placenta. And that was a signifying that this is your mother now. Feel rooted. Feel that you're here. Trust Mother Earth to provide for you. And unfortunately, we don't do those practices. What often happens, someone arrives on this earth and they are immediately told, these are the rules, you better fit in, and if you don't fit in, you better watch it. You don't belong. And so the degree of trusting that you are supported and loved from the moment you come into this world has been lost. And I would love every child to feel that they are welcome.
Oh, what a beautiful world it would be, right?
Yep. And instead, we kind of talk about Mother Earth that, well, she's going to have problems, or, you know, we might have natural disasters. It's like, God, you know, these poor new children coming in are all shaken by, don't go out there, you might get hurt. Don't go out there, you know, you might get Lyme's disease or this or this. It's like, wow, what happened? So it's really that ability to trust is, can we feel that we belong here? Can we feel that there are people around us who support us and encourage us without their conditions being placed upon us? And if we can bring children that sense of confidence, then everything is possible. Now, I appreciate that the people who are listening are not probably children. But what we do need to gather around us is friends, loved ones, people who will encourage us and support us whatever we do. Now, it doesn't mean we get away with things, but we say, hey, I'll support you. I'll be there for you. I might not let you, do things that might be against me, but I'm trying to support your growth and trying to support so that you can trust yourself. Yeah, trust is a big question.
So is it that through that sense of community, you have a way to communicate one with the other and really test some of your feelings and your thoughts,
exactly,
or to exercise them?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know maybe because I've been working a lot with young children recently, but, you know, I want to just explain that in that first 5 years of a child's life, there are two things that the parents wanting to be able to do, especially the mother. One is to offer nourishment and security and bonding, but they also are offering confidence and support and encouragement. And what can happen is that we either don't receive the nurturing at the beginning, or we are not receiving the confidence to step away from our mother. So, you know, it might sound wonderful to feel that someone takes care of you, but the best way of taking care of anybody is to actually trust that they know what they're doing. So what I've learned to do is that sometimes I'm with a friend and I've no idea I'm not sure if I really agree with what they're doing, but instead of saying that, I go, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust your soul knows what it's doing. Good on you. Go for it. Because who am I to say whether they're right or wrong? So I've learned that letting people go, especially when you've got loved ones and family, you're actually saying, I trust your soul knows what it's doing. I really trust you. And what a wonderful thing to tell anybody. To put them back in touch with themselves and be able to say, fly, you know?
Yes.
Because what often happens is that we don't trust ourselves because nobody's actually, we've got too attached to other people's opinions. And that ability to have that courage to go and still know that you're supported, whatever you do, is really valuable.
So it sounds like you're not only finding your inner wisdom, you're finding your inner freedom to express yourself fully.
Exactly. And that, you know, yes, you're going to make mistakes. I think, again, there's one of the problems is about trusting ourselves is, what if it goes wrong? What if I do the wrong thing? What if, like, you will, you know? We've all been there. But if we haven't so-called made mistakes or tripped over ourselves, we haven't grown. And I think anybody listening today can think of incidents that think, wow, yes, that didn't work out the way I thought.
Right.
But it worked out better. or at least I, because of this experience, I'm where I am now, and I wouldn't have been there if that hadn't happened.
So true. It reminds me of that statement, everything happens for a reason to teach us something.
Yes.
Right. You know, so with that type of... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking, you know, sometimes someone will tell me that they met in this wonderful man and he took them all the way to England, you know, and they fell in love. And then when she got there, she didn't like the man, you know. She fell out of love with him, but she loved the fact she was now in England. And, you know, if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I think that's what I'm wanting to say, is that our intuition will often hook us into something to get us somewhere else. And then as long as we're ready for it, we'll realize that, wow, yeah, I'm still heartbroken about that man, but actually, look what I got out of it. I'm now living in England or whatever it is. So if we can look at, as you say, everything has a purpose, and if we can move beyond a limiting viewpoint and really say, well, what did I get out of that? What was the opportunity of that experience? It doesn't mean you don't say, wow, you know, I really am sad about this, or I really hurt because of that. But how did you grow? How did you change your life because of that experience? That's what's important to look at.
So we really do discover who we are. We learn about ourselves through that type of trust.
Yes. And believing that in the beginning, this you know, do we believe that we are loved?
Mm-hmm.
Do we believe in people, a lot of people believe in a spirit world or a God or angels or whatever, but do you believe they love you? Do you believe that first and foremost they want you to succeed in your life? To become whole, to be happy. and I get a sense that sometimes we even though we say, oh, I'm a very spiritual person, we don't always believe in that love.
So how do we begin that for ourselves? You know, to be out in community is always wonderful, right? And we know in every tradition, every culture, they relied on community for support. Whether it's in development or the ancestors, the grandparents passing down teachings. But how do we as individuals ourselves, because not everybody is also part of a community or has others. Some people are just very lonely and they need to be able to trust themselves to go inside and find their gifts. Because as you say, each one of us is born with our own gift, our own potential. How do we find that individually? How do we get the courage to do that? Because the greatest form of healing is when you can achieve your own purpose in this life, right?
I believe so. I think there's a balance of the two, and I think we both say that, Elaine, is
mm-hmm.
we are social beings, you know. I think when we become too isolated, we can get lost in our own thoughts and get lost in trying too hard. And sometimes we just need to go and do something that has nothing to do with spiritual growth, but just makes us laugh. Just connecting to people in a way, you know, all I'm saying is it might be some creative art you just love doing that nobody talks spiritually, but you have that common bond. And I think that commonality is so important to us, to feel that you're not on your own here. Now, when you go home, you are alone, and truly, your journey is your journey. But it is important to recognize that you can step into that place of support, whether it's got nothing to do with your spiritual growth. That's what I'm wanting to say. That, you know, whether I talk to my neighbor about my garden, and he has a love of his garden, it's something that fills me with joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important that we don't isolate ourselves. However, as you say, we also have our own spiritual journey that we do need to focus on and to have awareness of. And I feel that it starts with, I'm going to say, doing things you love doing. And I come back to love and enjoyment. Because it feels that when we're trying too hard to make things happen, everything comes to a standstill. And maybe this is my journey, that most of the times where I have tried to plan something, it's never worked out the way I thought. I look back at my life, some of the greatest, the most wonderful achievements have come when I haven't planned them. And I feel that's usually because the universe is delighted to say, good, she's stopping thinking and now we can make something happen for her.
That's great.
So I think too much emphasis is played on doing it right. So again, that quote, are you doing it from fear? Are you doing it from love? So if you're shoulding on yourself, or I ought to do this, I ought to meditate this way, I've got to do it this way, it's probably not coming from a place that's going to actually make you grow. And I'm really saying is, if you can listen to your body and say, wow, this feels so good to do it this way, it feels so good to eat this way, it makes me feel so good to do, listening to the body and flowing with it really is a good way to go. And it's not that we shouldn't, you know, watch our weight or watch our diet. It's just a matter of, if it becomes more focused on the should than the actual pleasure, we've probably gone out of balance. And I feel that's the start. It's like exercising, where someone says, oh, I've got to go out and exercise. It's like, I'm not sure this is actually doing you any good. I spoke to someone just today who was telling me that she was trying to give up her last cup of coffee. And she said, I'm really, really trying, but it's so hard. I said, why are you doing it? Well, I'm trying not to stress myself. I said, I think you're stressing yourself. You know, have the cup of coffee. And enjoy it, because the stress you're putting yourself under trying to give it up probably isn't working for you. So how does that sound?
It sounds like sage advice to me. You know, I think that loving yourself and doing things in your life that you fully enjoy is the way to really discover who you are, what you want to do in this life. Oftentimes I find that women especially will say they just don't have that sense of fulfillment.
Right.
And so what is it about them? And I know you do a lot of work within women's health.
Yeah.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about that too. How is it that women who play so many roles in life, you know, whether they're the mom, the primary caretaker, for their parents, their business women, their professionals, they play so many roles. How is it that they can even find the time to listen to that inner voice?
And I feel for women, you know, women are more in tune with that inner voice, even though, as you say, they're not always listening. And the reason I say that is that they're more in tune with the seasons, they're more in tune with the rhythm of their body. Or the rhythm of the moon, I should say, which is actually tuning into their body. And one of the things that I'm doing with whatever age a woman is asking her to get in tune with the rhythm of her body or the rhythm of the moon, and recognize there are times to be creative, there are times to be out there in the world, and there's times to go inside. And I think if women could recognize that, despite however busy they are, however many pressures on them, that if we don't cycle with our own body or with our moon time or our moon, we will get sick. And that's why we have 60% of women with premenstrual syndrome, 80% of women with menopausal symptoms, because we're not cycling, we're not in rhythm with ourselves. And we are trying to literally be like mini men and cycle. You know, men don't have those same extremes of cycles. So when we stop flowing in a rhythmic way, giving ourselves time out and then taking on the creativity and new projects when we are in our so-called springtime, we will get sick. And of course a woman might say, well, I can't be successful, I can't, but we don't want to, we are not meant to be successful in the same way as men are. That doesn't mean you can't reach the top of your profession, but your skills and your gifts and your wisdom are much different from those of a man. And women were originally the spiritual leaders. They were the leaders of a community because they could detach themselves and they could become inspired with new ideas and they could lead from that place rather than being a follower. And of course, all that changed. So I'm saying to a woman just for the first start is even just being in rhythm with her breath, recognizing that she breathes in inspiration and then she breathes out, and she needs to quieten herself down into her body every breath. Or even at the end of a day, there's a time for quietening yourself down before you go to sleep. So rhythm is very important for women in order to feel the fulfillment that it comes from within inside yourself. And of course, comes with that is women need to put themselves higher on the priority list. And many studies I've seen and I've done myself is women find it really hard to look after their own needs. And so they're always being told, you do all the giving first and then you can look after yourself, which really just is not okay. So women, I need you up on the priority list, even if it's just taking 10 minutes for yourself in the morning, whatever you like doing. And that means not organizing someone or getting someone's meal ready or packing their lunch, sitting down, whatever it is that you like doing for 10 minutes, night and morning, so that you make sure this is my time. Do not disturb me.
That reminds me of my morning coffee at 7 a.m.
There you go.
Do not disturb me.
That's right. And I'll read my book. I'll take maybe a cup of tea to bed in the early morning and just think, this is my time.
Mm. It's important, men or women, everybody needs
absolutely.
To take that time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And everybody, as you say, needs it, especially if you've got a family. And the pressures now on men and women coming home to family, are greater than they've ever been. And so
true.
We need time before, just to re-enter, a re-entry time. and we need to help each other around that. And again, one of the things, as you mentioned, we don't have these big families anymore, so people feel more isolated, so there's less people to take care of the children or less people to take care of the elderly. Whereas before, it was more of a community experience.
Right. So do you think that there's a need now to just slow down and listen? To maybe, as you say, be more with the earth, recognize that Mother Earth is your root?
Yes.
So is it more about pulling back and slowing down a bit?
I believe so, and I believe it is about looking at what drives you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the shoulds and the musts and the oughts, and it's like, what's pushing me here? And that can be different, again, on different ages that we are, but certainly for men and women, coming towards their ends of their 40s and into their 50s onwards, it's a time for slowing down, because we're not trying to push ourselves in our career as much as we were when we were younger. Maybe we haven't got the same energy anyway. But it's just that we're moving into a different phase. Doesn't mean we're not as active, but it means that we're not trying to build our careers. We're trying to actually find a way of what's important to me. And every morning when I go out, I thank the beautiful weather, and I thank the trees, and I say, oh, you're so beautiful, sun, thank you for coming. Reminding ourselves of not just quickly getting in the car or wherever we go, recognizing that everything, to be grateful for everything, not take anything or anybody for granted.
Mm-hmm. I know you've recently written a book, The Handbook of Women's Mysteries.
I have indeed, and this kind of is on the back of my bigger book, which was The Healing Power of the Sacred Woman. And I wanted the handbook to be a more experiential book, so it is having suggestions and rituals and meditations with it and practices, so that I really want this to be an embodied experience. And I've just finished creating an online certification course, which I'm very proud of, is 6 months online, because, again, working with women to go through a 6-month cycle so that I can help them cycle again and to experience who they are. So I'm excited by the launch that's coming up of these projects.
They sound wonderful. To be able to have an extended period of time and really go inside and recognize, how do we rebalance? When we start out with the concept of trust and finding our inner wisdom, this is something that so many people search for. And I think, a lot of the tips that you've given us tonight about loving ourselves, about being connected, about, you know, taking that action and doing what you love is important for self-nurturing.
Yes. And there were very simple things you can do. Just a couple very quickly is recognize that if you believe in the spirit world, that the spirit world want to help you. So ask them questions. They always say we don't ask enough questions. So don't ask why is all this happening to me, but say, if I'm meant to do this, make it really clear. Or if I'm not meant to do it, make it really clear. Or I want the answer in the next 20 minutes. And follow through. So when the answer comes, you know, someone suddenly says, oh, I'm going to this seminar, why don't you come? Don't say, send me another answer. Take the first answer that comes. But truly, the universe, I mean, what I call the universe, they want to help you. So if you're in any doubt, ask them for help. If I'm not meant to do this, if I am meant to do this, make it clear. Because sometimes we struggle with knowing the right answers and then we doubt that we're being helped. And I have never doubted the help. I have seen, when I've said, should I do this, I've seen passports disappear and tickets disappear into space because I'm not meant to do that thing. So really, they are there to help you if you just trust them.
Sounds like the perfect guide to me, right? If you put it out in the universe and let the universe provide.
And knowing that the love is there, so they're not, if something happens, not to say, why is this, you know, why did I lose my passport? You know, say, hang on a minute, you put the message out there. Like when someone says, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job, and then when they're made redundant, they say, why have I lost my job? But you hated your job. So if I'm not meant to be with this person, make it really clear now.
Right.
And truly the universe will send a message, and it can be very open. It doesn't have to be in some dream that you have to have psychology working on it. You know, make it clear. And they
so
will.
So it's living with greater awareness, really, of
living
the messages around you.
When you know, when someone gets an illness, of course, that's the world I've worked in, that the illness is helping us. It's helping us to, it's saying, you wanted to get out of that job? Here, I've broken your leg for you. You know, now you've got some time to think about it.
Right.
Anything will come to try and break old cycles for us if we ask for help. But if we just want to hold on and stagnate, that can also happen.
So that's recreating the same cycle, the same pattern in life, basically.
Absolutely.
When we hold on.
Because
right, so are you saying that if you see the greater message in any incident, then it can help us to move forward?
Oh, absolutely. And because the fact of the matter is, the problem is we have free will. And that's one thing that nothing can take away from us. So however helpful your guides can be or anybody else, if you choose to dig yourself into a hole and stay where you are, nobody can get you out that hole. And I hear people tell me, oh, I've been told I'm going to write a book, I'm going to do this. But I know, it's like I'll be asked, am I going to get married? And I go, well, not if you never leave your bedroom, you won't. No. And they say, but couldn't you tell me I'm going to get married? And I think, no, because you've never left your bedroom. I won't give false promises. So we have to start at the beginning, and we have to work with what's coming towards us. And have the courage. Do little steps at a time. And celebrate. Yay, I did it!
That sounds great. So it's through the awareness and taking the steps and loving yourself, being part of a community that allows us to hear what's going on inside. That's kind of what I'm summarizing in the talk. Did I hit those points? Did I miss something?
No, you hit it beautifully. And it might sound lighthearted, but be lighthearted about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that's it. I mean, if you want to change, you have to appreciate who you are, right? And if we're going to be serious in it, it's going to be heavy. It's going to be hard to carry.
Start with, I am loved. Start with knowing I'm loved. What is the next thing? And let me see those next steps. Let those next steps appear to me in the next 3 days or whatever it is. That's the way to do it. The universe will get through to you and you'll think, why am I doing this? And you never remembered the beginning of it, but you're doing it. And that's the brilliance of it.
It's beautiful. That would be actually a lovely way for us to end the call tonight, right?
To be
able to repeat,
yeah.
I am loved. What are the next steps? Or see the
knowing
next
I am loved, let the next steps be really clear to me in the next 3 days.
That's beautiful, Christine. You are amazing.
Oh,
you're inspiring to so many, to our listeners out there. Christine has been a longtime presenter at the Building Bridges Conference. If you've ever been lucky enough to see her on a panel with Master Nan Lu, you would see how spirited the two of them are and how similar their thinking is. And it's beautiful because we try to search for the people who have this great passion and just really want to bring out the happiness in everybody, the true potential. And Dr. Page will be at our conference, at the Building Bridges Conference in September.
Looking
she will
forward
be,
to it very much, yes.
Oh, we have you busy that weekend. She'll be opening the conference.
I'm looking forward to it.
She'll be opening the conference with a meditation and then offering a two-hour workshop on awakening mystery, becoming aware of all you are.
That's
and another
it.
One, embracing our oneness. So I hope I have the time to attend your workshop. I'll be busy working at the conference, but I hope so. It will be lovely. For anybody listening who would like to see a little bit more about our conference, we would encourage you to go to tcmconference.org. And we have a special for you tonight where if you do register up until June 1st, you can add the coupon code DISCOVERY and take $25 off the early registration.
Wonderful.
As well, I would encourage you to go on to Christine's website, christinepage.com, and look at everything she's involved in. Her organization is called Frontiers of Health, and I think you'll be delighted to see the many areas that she's been working in, the books that she's put out, the audio tapes, and just get to know her so well because her heart is in all of her work.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christine, it's always such a pleasure, and I really cannot wait to see you in September.
Oh, likewise, Elaine. It's been such a pleasure. Even though we're meeting across the country, I'll look forward to seeing you in September in person.
Ah, sounds beautiful.
And all
thank
the beautiful
you so much.
People there at TCM World, I look forward to it.
Ah, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Pleasure is mine. Be blessed. And all love to you all.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.